and IT person gets here, then maybe she could work with Zoom. So I'm sorry for those out in either land who don't know what's going on and they can't get on and they're probably wondering what we're doing, but we do the best we can with that situation. So if you would, all stand and make us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In a moment of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we see the world around us in much chaos. We have at least two wars going on right now, and without taking any political agenda or side of anything, we pray for those that suffer. We know there are many suffering on both sides of every war. There are many innocent people who are killed. And this is a horrible tragedy, and I know it breaks your heart. It breaks our heart, too. Father, we just pray you'd be with those who are affected by these wars and that you would comfort them and help them to understand that things in this world are not like you'd have them to be, but that's the nature of the world we live in because of the sin that was committed originally. And Father, we just pray that you'd be with us, guide us during this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Additions to the agenda or changes.
The Animal Control Commission contract is on this one that's been added.
Okay, we'll add Animal Control.
It's on your agenda, but it's not on their agenda.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any other additions or changes? Okay, hearing none. Minutes and claims. Have you gentlemen had opportunity to see them and willing to approve them?
I just have one minor amendment. It's on the first page. When you go down there to the 1341, that is actually inside of a larger change order, and we're not quite ready to approve the larger change order. And so we're going to hold off on that payment of 1341 because, like I said, it's inside of a much bigger payment. Does that work, Sandy?
That works.
Okay.
Other than that, I make a motion to approve the minutes and claims.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, moving right along, we'll go to Mike Magner with the annual bids for materials for the highway department.
Thank you. Typically what we do is each year, if you remember, which is the neutral wrong for Commissioner Sanders, I do the summary for you in between this meeting and next meeting. We advertise, we recognize them today and award at the next meeting. And then I will go through and detail all the individual pricing and recommendations on awards. So at this time, I'll read off who we actually received bids from so that everyone knows who met the deadline to submit. So our first one is from Dave O'Mara Contractors, and that'll be for this cold mix and miscellaneous asphalt, which will be all the asphalt bids, or not for any big, the road paving itself we do as separate contracts.
It's like just supply hot mix.
Right. So if we send our trucks down to get some patching or cold mix or hot mix, miscellaneous patching picked up at the plant. So the first one is Dave O'Mara. Second one is Milestone Contractors. And the third one is E&B Paving out of Bloomington. So Milestone's at Columbus. O'Mara's plants at Hayden at the quarry, which is where we get a lot of our cold mix. They stock it year-round. And then E&B's at Bloomington. The next group is, some of these are pipes, so we have a pipe bid from St. Regis Culvert. One from Civilcon, which is our current supplier of metal pipes. And I have one from E3 Bridge, out in Bedford. I believe that's all the culverts. Okay, and then for trucking, which in the wintertime, if we don't have time to actually haul from the quarry, we usually have space with sand. We'll have sand delivered. So I have at least two of those. We have one from Wagler Brothers here in Brown County, and then from Young Trucking at Unionville. And then for our aggregates for all of our different grades of stone, I have one from U.S. Aggregates, which is from the old Bashburger Quarry, which is one of our current suppliers, and also from the Rogers Group at Bloomington for stone, sand, gravel, dirt, prep. Well, I need to open this one, actually. I have one here that's another culvert pipe bid, but they did not put their name on the outside of the envelope. Okay, this is from Stern Supply down North Vernon, which is where we get our HP Storm, the gray pipe. And then just as a note, they have actually been bought out by a bigger company down in the Cincinnati area, but they're still going to use the Stern Supply name, and then they're also a Wise Way company. And then for sand and gravel, I have one from IMI Aggregates for sand and gravel out of the, I think they're doing two different locations. Yes, IMI, this one's the IMI out of Brownstown, and then they did a separate price for the pit out of Columbus from IMI Aggregates. And then the last one is for our fuel and miscellaneous oils, DEF, so forth, is from Premier Energy, which is our current supplier, and we just had one bid for fuel. So with that, I would recommend for you guys to go ahead and we'll just table them for review, and then I'll do the summary sheet, and then we can make the awards at your next meeting in 2 weeks.
I would entertain a motion to that effect.
I make a motion to table the Highway Department contracts until the next meeting.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
If I could, Mr. President, I actually had one that was just loose, not in an envelope. And actually, it's for Best One Tire out of Seymour.
Would that one be a valid bid since it's not sealed?
That's something I need to talk to legal about, because it is, we do request that they come in as sealed bids.
Mike, Moga, are you with us today?
Yes.
Is he? Okay. Can you answer that off the cuff, or you need to take that under advisement? We have a bid that was not sealed, but presented to us for materials.
Yeah, I think we should discuss this offhand, because I need to talk to legal and learn more facts, but if it was not sealed, there might not be problematic
facts.
Okay. Okay, so I said...
Yeah, I typically send everything up to them, scan it, send it up to them for review also.
Is that the only bid for tires?
It appears in this stack, which we, any of our suppliers, we get the automatic federal government discount on tires. So even if we don't have a bid and they have not have something that we needed in a particular size, we can go to multiple suppliers and still get the federal discount.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Mike? Have any update on what's going on for us?
I can give you a couple of quick little items. I'll try to be as quick as possible. Last week it was due in, this is why I left the conference early, the asset management plans for both the road and bridge items, which we have to have on file every year in order to apply for the community crossing road and bridge grants. Those were due by December 1st, so I finished those up, submitted everything, and have the certificates that were on file and good for all of 2024. So those are completed. And then the only other thing I had was I think you had received, I know Jerry had, about a webinar yesterday with the USDOT on some potential federal funding for some different things. Usually that's for a lot bigger projects, like their what they considered a bridge project needed to be a minimum of $10 million per project.
Okay.
So, but there are some that they did target for some local rural road stuff, so.
When I get something like that and I don't see that it's been CC'd to you,
yeah.
I just forward it, so don't take offense.
Oh, no, that's good, because sometimes I don't get them all, but that one I actually got from another source.
Yeah.
But
gotcha.
It was an interesting webinar. It was about an hour and a half yesterday afternoon. But what they've done is created what they call a new toolbox to help with some of the application process, because it's pretty... They require cost-benefit analysis and a whole lot of other stuff that we don't do on the state level to get federal dollars. So I did participate in that. So if there's anything that comes up, they'll still do individual advertisements for when different types of funding is available throughout the year. So they do that multiple times a year. So we'll look at that as they come up. And other than that, like I said, we're just repairing and prepping for winter and been hauling a lot of rock out to the roof. Grading and doing just regular maintenance, ditching, so forth. So just our normal day-to-day operations. And the update on the trucks, they did not deliver them this week, but they're going ahead. The V-boxes actually came in. So they're going to go ahead and put the V-boxes in the truck and prep them and make sure everything's good. So within a few days, should have the first one, but they were going to go ahead and make sure all the hydraulics were good, but switching between one spreader and the other one, between the tailgate and the V-boxes. So they're going to get the V-boxes all mounted up and ready to go.
Okay, good. Hopefully I'll be here before the first snow. If we have snow.
We'll be a half inch in March.
I do want to report also, especially for you, Mike, that I received a phone call this morning, around noon, I guess, in the afternoon, from a constituent down on Elkinsville Road who expressed their appreciation for us paving their road. She had called me earlier and thanked her appreciation for us grinding the road up and getting rid of all the rough stuff. But then she called back again today to thank us for paving it, too.
So good. Glad to hear that.
And once in a while we get calls like that. I still have a lot of faith in humanity. I think that most people appreciate what we do. There's a few that may have problems or questions, and that's okay. We'll talk to them as well. But I wanted to let you know that, because some people do certainly appreciate, a lot of people appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Mike. And the next item on the agenda is the 10/27/23 administrative work session with council members and administrator.
Yes. So this is a notation that needs to be made in the minutes that will reflect in the next, when you approve them in the next minutes. On 10/27 of 2023, there was an administrative work session where council members and commissioners gathered together. They discussed topics of insurance, funding, and also the salary ordinance. And so I'm making that notation in our minutes to reflect in for those minutes.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay, very good. We always learn something when we go to the commissioner's conference. It's not a waste of money, as some might think. We really do learn a lot of things, and they have some very good work sessions there. We also learn a lot in the hallways, talking to other commissioners, see what's going on in other places, how they deal with things, and get a lot of good ideas there. And, of course, we do always have a session with Luke Britt, the Office of Public
Access Counselor.
Yeah, Public Access Counselor. And he gives us some tips and things to help us complying with that. So that was part of what we were just talking about. Okay. We now move to the new job description for the Office Assistant Human Resource Coordinator. We do have a job description for that that's been developed by the commissioners, and we're going to approve that today. Did you have anything to say about it, Melissa or Julie or anybody?
I do.
Okay.
I don't think the verbiage is quite right yet. I highlighted a couple. Says here the assistant commissioner administrator, HR benefits and compliance manager. That's under duties, three paragraphs down. The word administrator and HR is still in there. And I thought with the letter that you guys said when you was restructuring it, was saying that the HR was no longer, it was obsolete.
Would be manager, right?
Okay. You get back here on job requirements, it says, possess of our ability to obtain, maintain human resource certification within 1 year of employment. Maintain certification in sequential years of employment throughout the education classes. Last, and other, to back, and it sounded to me like we was getting rid of the HR director. But in this paragraph it says, the human resource director is appointed position of the Board of Commissioners. Specific job duties and job requirements are established at the discretion of the Board of Commissioners with guidance from the PAC. A person appointed to the human resource director, so that's HR director again.
That needs to be corrected.
Okay.
Correct.
So I'm not the only one saying this?
Yeah, we're just saying it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Position works exclusively for the Board of Commissioners and may be terminated by the Board of Commissioners at any time without cause.
That's in anyone. Because they have the right to work. It's the Indiana state law.
Well, that verbiage isn't in all of them. So, I think I'd like to make a motion that we table it, clean it up.
Okay, we can clean those up.
And,
that's why we have three commissioners. We're all check on each other.
So we have this administrator that needs to be gone. And what was the next one?
The certification within 1 year. Is that something they have now, or is that something
possess or ability to obtain and maintain? We don't. That's not anything that we've ever really done, so we don't have to.
So that can come out.
Yep, that can come out.
But you think the part about they can be terminated at any time?
Any of them.
That's for anybody.
So I didn't put that in. No one else put that in. It had to come from Kent Irwin's office, but. I need to look at the other job descriptions that are downstairs and see if that's what they say.
Because I don't actually think that's true. Now, the human resource director, it's my understanding, can be terminated at any time.
Because she,
just like mm-hmm. the highway superintendent.
Well, you know what that's
huh?
That's exactly what the right thing is.
Just like the highway superintendent.
At the will of the commissioners. That position is.
That position.
Standard. Executive, a non-executive office assistant.
Sorry about that, Mike. I was using you as a reference. But under the commissioners, after another office, and I'm not going to mention office, they can actually let their deputy go also, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, another thing was, real quick.
I think if they're a merit deputy, it's a process.
Exactly.
Very extensive process.
Absolutely.
Somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
There's a board for that.
I don't want to dive too deep into this. I'm just going to make a quick statement and then we're going to move on.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot to get done today.
Yes.
And we're already running late. It was my understanding when the letter was wrote to reconstructure the commissioner office, it was stated that in order to have an HR director, they had to have an assistant under them.
To have someone to direct.
Okay. According to WIS, that's not true. There's three counties that their HR director don't have anybody under them. So we need to clean off all of that wording.
Okay.
And so I make a motion to table this until we get our wording, verbiage. Is verbiage even a word?
Yeah.
Verbiage. Clean up the verbiage.
We have a motion. I hear a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ron, for pointing those things out. And we will now move to the Animal Control Commission contract we have with us. Suzanne Morgan today. Hello.
Hi, Neil. Do you all have any questions for me? I am on the commission along with the president of the Brown County Humane Society. And this contract is for the year 2024. And it's been approved by the commission and by the Humane Society. So we have all the signatures we need. You know, we need your signature. This is for the support of the county animals that are being picked up by the animal control officers. We really, you all have access 24/7 because in the new shelter we do have access, an access room for all officers that need to secure an animal overnight. And I'm the person they call if they have any problems or questions about securing an animal. So that's what this funding is for, and we hope that we can get your signatures today.
I would love to say that I so appreciate your enthusiasm and the way that you've handled, you know, the pets. I mean, you can't live in Brown County without having a pet, and you have just been a stalwart. And so thank you for all you do.
Well, we do appreciate all the support of everyone in the county. I mean, the residents, everyone, they know where to go, and we're there to help. So thank you very, very much. Those are very kind words. Thank you.
I have a little something.
Yes, sir.
I did hurry up and read that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the only request I have,
yes, sir,
is that you give us a copy of the insurance.
Of our insurance?
Your insurance.
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's the only thing that I have. Is there anything you'd like to add,
sure,
Terry?
I don't think so.
Would you?
This is, yeah.
I have one copy here.
There are five. We need them all signed for one copy for the commission, one for the Humane Society, and then for you all. We'll have copies as well.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
We need a motion to approve this contract.
I make a motion to approve the animal control service agreement.
And I second that.
Okay.
Vociferously.
All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Yes, thank you very much. And this is
going to take a while, so we probably ought to sign these for you real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. And I will get a copy of the insurance for you all.
I got one.
We got one.
Okay. Then she gave me one.
This is not exactly the animal shelter contract with the Humane Society. This is with the Animal Control Board.
Correct. Animal Control Commission. Yes.
Right. And this is money that you pay for your dog tax every year. If you have a dog, you're supposed to pay your tax. It's kind of voluntary. But we appreciate everybody taking on responsibility. It's $5 a year. Mm-hmm. But that money goes to a very good use. If there's any animal damage to like a farmer's livestock or even your pet, there's money to cover that loss. And that's set up by the state, and a certain percentage of that goes to Purdue for research and so forth. Part of it goes to the county and so forth. It's been a matter of law for years. It's a good thing.
I also believe it used to be that you could go to the trustee if you had a loss,
mm-hmm,
of livestock or something.
To show you how old I am, when I was a kid, they had a bounty on foxes.
Dang.
And if you shot a fox, you could cut one of the ears off and bring it into the courthouse. They'd give you $2.
That's all. Fact. That's all. Yep. What a great facility out there, huh?
Thank you. Yes. Yep.
Beautiful.
It's outstanding. It really is helpful.
And a lot of folks, you can still volunteer to come out and play with them, walk them.
Absolutely.
Out, which is.
We intense. Would love any help that we can get.
Absolutely. So. Randall Pfluger.
Aye. This sounds like you ought to be walking a dog once in a while out there.
I don't know. You think my temperament is correct?
I think he's more of a cat guy.
So it looks like the next thing on the agenda is going to be the Brown County Commissioner meeting schedule.
Yeah. I think there's
five.
Is it five?
There are five.
People come.
No problem.
We're getting close.
I would like one of those.
Yes, we have a schedule for next year's commissioners' meetings. That we'll approve here momentarily.
Did you say the next commissioner meeting that the time had been changed to 2 o'clock?
That's a request, yes, for you guys to vote it in anyway. If you want to do that with the commissioner's meeting schedule for 24, that's fine too.
Just because there's another meeting that you probably would like to go to.
I love the meetings, man.
Right. You can't have too many meetings, right?
Right. So, yes. So
there's five of them.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So the meeting on the
committee. Thank you, sweetie. Appreciate it.
It's normally been at 6 o'clock. We're going to move you up to 2 o'clock because there's a meeting at 5:30. That's very important.
And then you have another meeting on the 27th that was just in case you guys have to have a meeting. Do we want to leave that as a just in case?
Yeah, let's leave that. If we have something to clean up for the end of the year.
Okay.
So, scheduling.
You're scheduling?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have any problem with that?
The schedule?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with none of the commission schedules at this point.
I would accept suggestions. I think it was my idea to move one of the meetings to the evening. So we have one at 2, one at 6. First meeting being at 2 in the afternoon, the second meeting of the month at 6. So that both employees can attend the meeting if they need to. We don't pay employees to leave their job and come to be in this meeting. Okay?
But if they are in this meeting because it's something that pertains to their job, they are to be in.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't pay them just to come and observe our meeting because they are on the clock working for the county, and this is not something that's necessary unless they're called or on the agenda.
I think that's, it breaks it up so the working man people can come.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's fair. I mean, if there's a situation we have to change, we can change it.
Yeah. I haven't heard any complaints about it.
Yeah, Jerry, if you recall, the first meeting was always supposedly, remember, it was what, 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Pre-COVID?
Originally.
And it was always admin stuff. So you kept it just admin. But the major decisions you kept for the second one at 6 so the public could attend.
Yeah.
That's one change that hasn't been accommodated with this post-COVID kind of plan.
Yeah. If there's something controversial, we try to make it at our second meeting so the public can attend. Can't always guarantee that, but we'll try to do that. Okay.
I make a motion to go ahead and approve the meeting schedule for 24.
Okay.
And also state that our next meeting will be at 2 o'clock.
Okay. I will second that.
And any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
This is December. We have been trying to solicit people to bid for our cleaning services here at the county. We've had the same vendor for the last 8 years or so, since 2016. We did put out a notice, an RFP. We had three or four, I think, initially. But when we sent them out a list of the things that we required to be done on a recurring basis, they all pulled their contracts. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do and not what we wanted them to do, except for one, who's our current supplier.
which did send an email that said that he was not aware prior to the RFP of the actual things that you wanted completed and done. So now he has a list. He was never given a list before, and he apologized if that's what we thought that he was going to be doing and that this is his fit.
Okay. So
it's not been open, so I will. So
right.
It definitely needs, it needs to be open. It needs to go to Mike Mulder, our attorney.
Yeah. We've had some people complaints about the service, but once again, we never gave them a definitive list of what we expected him to do, so he'd been doing what he thought was necessary. In some cases, it may not have been enough. So he's aware of that now. He's our only bidder, so we're going to open his contract. I don't have a problem with giving it to him, especially since there's an understanding that now we have a list of things to be taken care of, and so I think he can do that now that he's aware of it. We certainly don't have a lot of choices right now. It's almost the end of the year, and like I say, everybody else pulled out.
So we're opening it, and but the decision won't be made until after it goes to legal and he reviews it?
Yeah, exactly. So if you'd like to open it.
I don't know, man.
I don't have a pocket knife, so I'm going to
try. Oh, I'm not asking
to pay
for
it.
I think it's taped up here. I'll try.
Okay. That's a dangerous weapon. Every time I get a pocket knife, I lose it. I've lost 100 pocket knives in my lifetime.
Is it a Bardo or what is it?
It's an old German. Huh. What's their name?
Good steel.
Okay.
Got your eyes on?
This is from Image Services, LLC. Jonathan T. Hunt is the owner. Been, like I said, been doing this for us for since 2016. And it looks like to comply with the list we gave him, his total bid, I guess this is per month, if I understand that right. Take a look there, Blake. Square footage, and this is for the annex, the courthouse, law enforcement, health department, prosecutor's office, highway department, solid waste, veterans parks, recreation, Purdue extension, Sycamore Valley, EMS base, all included in this with the things that we've required. It comes to $7,235.
A month.
A month.
It's right about, it's probably maybe $500 more than he charges us now.
Okay.
And the part with the sheriff's department, because Brad and I have discussed it and some of the others, they didn't really need someone to come in and clean it. They had just have not had their carpets cleaned in like 15 years. And I said, oh, so quarterly they will be asked to go and clean the carpets in the admin offices and that in the downstairs areas.
It comes to about $86,820 for the year.
Yeah.
We had bids that were lower than this originally, but when we gave them the list of what was required, then they wouldn't even bid on it.
No. So
what's going on?
They've been paying about 70-some thousand a year.
We must be very needy. I mean,
well, there's a lot of buildings that were not really, they were covered, but they were, so the outer line buildings, Parks and Rec, Veterans Office, out at Purdue Extension and those. So we actually gave them a schedule that required, I think it's every 2 weeks, or maybe it's every week and then every 2 weeks on the some certain things that they did. And there were places that had never been, like EMA's trash had been there for over a month and was overflowing, so they like push it down and put it in bags and set it outside, or take it to the dumpster themselves or whatever. And So we just made sure that all that was listed, so there's no questions. And then also, when you're planning a lot more and you're actually meeting the needs of what needs to be done, there's more. Did he make a price on supplies? Is that a part of it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's supplies too. That's a good price.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm yes. Jonathan. Can I come out and speak?
Oh, yes, just make sure we clear my here. Okay. Yes.
All right. I'm glad you're here. I didn't realize it.
I was hoping you got my email.
So it covers certain supplies. I'm Jonathan Hunt, owner of Image Services. It covers certain supplies.
Okay.
We cover, as far as like our sanitizing and for glass and countertops, we cover all that. As far as paper towel, you asked us to bid on that. Mm-hmm. Industry-wide, most industries don't touch that. One of my go-tos, he owns the second largest in the United States. He says don't touch it. I can't get a better price than you guys can get for paper towel. I would assume you guys get a discount.
We do through Penny Paper.
Right. Mm-hmm. If I walk in there, if you guys want me to order it, I don't have a problem with that. It's industry standard is price plus 3 to 5%. We were going to go 2%. So if you guys don't want to hassle with that, it would be that cost plus 2%. I would rather you guys handle it just because.
But you've always give us like a price and then the supplies that you do use, another separate price. So is that all included in this one here?
Right.
Okay.
That's all included.
Thank
in
you.
That. And then.
And I know what the other things
we are. Haven't raised our prices either, and as you guys well know.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Everything has just gone insane. So.
But there was any question about the quality of work before.
Well, obviously there is.
But,
I would love for someone to tell me that.
It might be such a thing that, you know, we didn't define what we wanted, and now we have defined it, and so this is like a new starting point.
I think that could be, to be honest with you. I know there's certain individuals that haven't liked us being here at all since we started.
There are certain individuals that don't like us being up here.
Right, so, and I'm fine with that. I would just like to speak face-to-face. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
If you guys want to confront me, call me, go through Melissa. I'd rather have it go through one person so we're all on the same page, and it's all on email.
Thank you.
I receive notes, like we were out of paper towel downstairs in the annex restroom, which is always some reason a problem. When we first started, we made sure there was two paper towels. Mike and I sat down, so we need to do this and this. Two paper towel dispensers in all the restrooms, which wasn't the case before. So we've tried to make it where it's seamless as possible, but you know, we do 150 trash cans minimum here in the county every night, and we're going to miss. And you know, I'm not going after the people that work with me when they do miss. I do apologize though for the women downstairs. Don't miss the paper towel or their toilet paper. But other than that, yeah, things have gone up. But I would like better communication. I need to know who to communicate. Melissa, Diane used to communicate all the time.
That's what I say. That was the main thing.
And then Melissa, and then now that we've transitioned, I don't know who to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to Melissa.
It's okay. That's fine.
That'd be good.
But I would really like to know where we're missing. Our standard was, we did have a list, and we've kept to that list. When we switched, everybody lost the list. So I don't know where that went. I mean, I had my list, so. But, yeah. So. Yes, and it is more expensive. It really is. But we actually priced it out at the lowest end, 17 cents. And it all goes all the way up to 25, even higher. I mean, it's insane. I think the main thing is, and I'll stop, it's finding people to employ. And right now, it's $35 an hour, just in Graham County. And most of these guys have dropped out. Most of them probably, because of our industry here, they're making way more cleaning houses.
Yeah.
It's insane. So, but we'll do another year if you guys would have us, and then I guess every year we'll just go from there. But we want you guys to be satisfied. So.
Yeah, we're quite used to seeing increased costs for everything.
Right. So
that is true. Well, we thank you, Jonathan, very much, and appreciate you bidding, and I think we can successfully negotiate another year.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I guess we can either approve it contingent on legal, or we can take it until next meeting when legal looks at it, whichever you guys want to do.
I guess we could just go ahead and approve contingent. I mean, sorry.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Well, I would entertain a motion then.
I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve the contract pending legal scrutiny.
Review.
Okay. Motion and a second.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Any questions about this? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
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 Okay, thank you. We're going to discuss the board appointments today. Please make everybody aware that there are openings, and we probably will not actually appoint these until our next meeting, but we're contacting the current people and advertising for anybody who's interested in it. So there are several every year that are appointed by the commissioners. There are several every year that are appointed by the county council. So we only deal with those that are commissioners' responsibility. And there's all kinds of terms from 1 year to 4 years to 6 years that we have to look at. So there'll be a lot more about this next meeting. Update on the courthouse. They're getting about done. They're getting fairly close, I think. They did ask for a 30-day extension. They were originally committed to finishing by November the 13th. They asked for a 30-day extension, which we granted them. They have had a few legitimate reasons for the extension. They ran into a problem with the foundation that set them back probably a week or so. They had to dig a lot deeper than they originally planned because of what they found on the ground. They had some issues with some of the supplies being delivered timely. I think that's the main thing. The weather hasn't been too big a problem for them. It's good. But maybe you can tell us more, Ron.
I'll give you a little bit more. They've received their payment number 6, so we're currently up on our payments. There is an issue, I'm not going to talk about the issue, with a change order, and that's what the 1341 was about. The 1341 was inside of the change order, and we're working with everybody to resolve it. Payment number 7 come in, and it's $147,193.20. November the 27th is what I'm looking at. So we should have until December the 27th. We get 30 days. And then the final payment come in. We talked about that. They seem to be doing a really good job. It's looking good. So
very happy with everything they've done so far.
Yeah, it's just...
Maybe the roof. Ron had a little question about the roof.
Well, the sun come in and help lay it down.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual. When you see it, it might look a little fluffy or something, but then the sun hits it and lays it down.
Ron's a previous roofer, so he knows more about that than the rest of us.
Yeah. I inherited that part. I was in the roofers union when I was 15 years old.
We didn't see it, but we were impressed.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
You know, it was like, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it's coming right along. They're doing a fine job. I think for the most part, everybody's happy. Sometimes during construction, it's just like the roof when I looked at it. You know, it hadn't laid just right just yet. Then you look and it's kind of, some things might look like an optical illusion. It don't look right. It don't look level. Then you figure out it's to grade. Once they finally get it all in there, it flows together. I remember looking at the soffit thinking, well, that don't look just right. But after they put the gutters up, it was fine. The average person don't really know. I mean, everybody's a critic. But when you actually see the finished product, it's sometimes really hard to catch something that's out of line. So I think it's moving along just fine. I don't see no issues at this point with it. And that's really about all I have to say about it.
Okay. Any questions? Yes. Okay. Moving right along. Next up is Scott with the Indian Hill Crossing update.
Hi, Scott Rowe, Brown County Council. Thanks for giving me a couple minutes here.
Just a second. Before you start, I'd like to say that how appreciative we are with a man of your talent, not only is able to be an integral part of the county council, but also trying to do what you can on these critical issues and your ability to do things with fiber. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome. Quick update. You know, we've had several steps that we've gone through over more months than I recall. That first step and most important step was the community and the commissioners deciding, you know, to petition NDOT. We were able to petition NDOT to reopen the Indian Hill Railroad crossing. We did a field visit with stakeholders and NDOT. That was NDOT's meeting. We participated in that. Several of you were there. We had some various filings with NDOT to support our petition, and NDOT, as you know, decided to reopen the road with some additional safety enhancements at the crossing that we had not proposed. And so a little bit of a curveball there, but real thankful for NDOT working with us. You know, this is not something they do typically, and it did take some extraordinary circumstances for it to occur, so we're very thankful to them. And maybe most importantly, need to continue to kind of have a great relationship with them moving forward, because those additional safety enhancements cost money. And we need the support of NDOT, you know, considering our condition, to make that possible. So the shot clock has started. It's 12 months to completion for the county to meet its obligations to do its part. And I'm kind of looking at May 1st, because that's when farm activity starts to occur on that site, and things, you know, in the springtime get more active. So it's a little bit ambitious, perhaps, but if we can identify a partnership with NDOT that will make it work, then, you know, I think we can possibly get there. But that was really the update I had for you. I just want to keep it alive with you. I know we've had meetings, Jerry, and we have a with the team, we have a meeting coming up with NDOT to talk about, you know, how we can most efficiently and financially feasibly, most importantly, move forward kind of as one to make that happen. So I'm happy to continue to work on that. I wish it was over by now. I wish we could open it tomorrow, but we can't. So that's my update. Unless you have questions, I'm happy. Thank you for your time.
Okay. I think we're down to the final issue is how to finance the upgrades to the crossing. There is, I believe, conceivably money available through NDOT for that. The other options are fairly limited, as I understand it. We could possibly apply for part of an existing program, such as, for instance, the Next Level Trails that the government has set up. Since this is a trail issue as well as anything else, probably more people use that crossing who are walking the trail than there are cars that go across it. But it's very important to the trail people. So we might be able to make a case that some of that funding is already in place. Problem is, you know, we have a time limit of a year, I think it is, to actually have it open, or the agreement is off. So we don't have time to apply for a lot of things like federal money or things that take more than a year to get approval. So it would have to be some source that's already there, such as Next Level Trails or whatever. There are some monies out there for that, plus NDOT has some money if they're willing to use it. So we'll just have to see how that works out.
And then we have such stalwarts as Mr. Clark and Mr. Pfluger that probably have ideas how, you know, you guys
can, you know, get behind a fundraising effort, I'm sure. If you are dedicated to that, which I know you are, as much as you are to civic government, you'd be able to raise a bunch of money, right?
That's a question.
I'm just acknowledging your ability to do things right.
I think all the partners have been super helpful, and so yeah, we're thankful for each of those. And it could take a village by the time this is over.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate you. Okay. Thank you. Have a good day. Okay, I think we've already solved that. The next one, the conflict of meetings.
I wouldn't say that. Since you're asking questions today, maybe I should be on the agenda. I'll support a motion for that, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Is there any additions to the agenda?
Well, we have.
No. This looks down at the bottom.
Pardon?
We have other business to go.
Down at the bottom?
Yeah, that's where we're at now.
Okay, I'll just ask.
So,
trying to keep up.
The corporation proposal for professional services, general financial consulting contract with FSG. And someone here who'd like to address that, explain it?
Pardon?
Is anybody that would like to explain that or address that?
Well,
I don't think
actually,
anybody's here from them. But.
Okay. What I know of this contract is this gentleman actually did a presentation and spoke to the council and the commissioners in a public work session, actually. Tim was there when we were talking about it. Everyone thought that it was a fantastic idea. He then came back to the council meeting where he did another presentation and spoke to the council as a whole. Am I right, Joel? And then the council made a motion and voted on to hire them. And so that brings it back to your Ballywick, because the only ones that can sign contracts or enter into a binding contract is the commissioners. So it is now in your league to review and to decide on whether or not to make a motion and vote this through and sign the contract and commit to it. And my understanding is of the service is that this gentleman and his team will work with us monthly. We will look at what we're spending, how we're spending, where we are assigning bills to. He's also going to look at the accounts as a whole in the auditor's office as far as what is in the auditor's office, what funds, how we're running money that's coming in, is it going into the right place, are we taking money out of the right place. We have some cash balances, so do you use cash balances, and if you do so, then how do you use your cash balances, and how low do you go down on your cash balances. So it's a whole technique of balancing your budget without trying to do it in a forum of setting the budget once a year. It's a practice of spending and usage of your tax dollars correctly. So it will go farther and in hopes to balance this budget.
Okay.
This is your guy, right?
Yes, it's Julian.
Do you also go after revenue that we don't have currently? That he knows that's available.
And we've heard him, and you were pretty impressed with him, I think. Commissioner Sanders.
Let me just kind of try to get up to speed here. Read the contract. He expects to be paid every 30 days. Mm-hmm. The contract can be terminated by either party with 30-day notice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems pretty reasonable to me. I just feel bad for the guy, to be honest.
Taking on this, yeah.
But with that said, on contracts, I like for all contracts to be reviewed by legal. Now, we emailed that to our attorney for him to look at, which I doubt that he's had time to review it and absorb it all. I think this would be a good time for you to make one of those contingent to approve the contract. upon our legal agreeing that it looks okay. Does that make sense?
Actually, it does.
Yeah.
Just maybe a little bit of background. We've had two different financial consultants come working for us last year or two. And I understand that this firm would actually take over and replace both of them.
Yes.
And we've got both of the ones we've used. I think we're very good. I like both of the people involved.
Yes.
But sometimes we ran into a conflict between the two of them as to what we should do. And it wasn't the best situation for them either. So we're trying to put this all into one place. And I was very impressed with this gentleman. He's been doing exactly this for a number of years for other counties. Mm-hmm. And he knows specific, he's not just a general financial consultant, he's specifically addressing Brown County. Mm-hmm. And he only takes on a certain number of counties, I think it's five or six, mm-hmm. because he wants to give good service to those that he does work for. So I was very impressed with him. I think that he has the answer to some of the questions we haven't been able to get from our current vendors. And so I'm very in favor of this.
I really like the idea of all of us meeting together once a month instead of all of us meeting in June and try to cram June, July, August, September, October all together and try to figure it all out. I think that this is going to create a practice of mindful budgeting and not a how do we fit the square and around the hole kind of thing.
And I will have to say, if you were on the the middle of this, mm-hmm. I believe Mr. Clark was impressed with the man too. He said at the meeting.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Sure. Yeah. I thought he had an excellent package.
Thank you.
Just so everybody knows what kind of money we're talking about, states in the contract that's not to exceed $28,000.
Right.
And I believe that's less than the other two mm-hmm. combined.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
$28,000 a month,
$28,000
a year.
Yearly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and...
are you going to make the motion, sir?
Yeah.
On contingent? I like the way you say it. I might stutter and mispronounce it.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we adopt this
contingent
on the legal review.
Works for me.
Okay. Motion?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Okay, very good. Okay, next up is a citizen comment on prior ordinance changes to the personnel policy. Jerry Nichols.
Just before you start, Sherry, I'd like to say how happy we are to have you back. You've been absent for a while, and it's good to see you back in action here. So,
well, Mr. Woodford, I didn't expect that. I'll tell you that. Thank you very much. That's kind of you to say. I am not here for changes in your personnel policy. That was an assumption, and it was incorrect. So, let me tell you why I am here. You are all Republicans. You run on an ideology of less government, less interference, less taxes, less all of those things. And that's why people vote for you. I'd like to make a proposal to have less government in Brown County. And as far as I know, I can't think of any time where it's ever been voted where we had less government in Brown County. It's always been more oppression, more rules, more whatever. My proposal, let me give you this.
Does this have anything to do with why you requested to be on the agenda?
That's exactly why I asked. I never said anything about personnel issues. You did that. That was your assumption, not mine.
No, that's what you emailed
no, sir,
when
I
you
did
requested
not.
To be on the agenda. That's all you get to talk about.
I did request to be on the agenda, but I gave no reason and no one asked.
You're out of order, please.
I actually have a conversation.
You may speak about what you requested to be on the agenda, which was exactly as stated here, citizen comment on prior ordinance changes to personnel policy. If you're not going to talk about that, then please give up the podium, please, right now.
Well, again, I never stated why I wanted to be on the
agenda. You did state that. I have an email to prove it.
I have the email here, too. Me, right here. Exactly right here.
Ma'am, you are done. Sit down.
No, sir.
Sit
no,
down.
Sir.
Sit
no,
down
sir.
Or I'll have you removed from the meeting.
You can do that.
Sit down.
But that is not
that is
why
not
I came
you
here.
Requested.
That is not
you
what I
You may sit
said.
Down now.
You had an assumption
where's
that I was
going to
speak on personnel issues.
Hang on.
I did not say
state
that.
Yeah, okay, we have a law enforcement officer here.
That's
she
right.
is out of order, and I ask that she sit
you
down.
You would be violating my rights, and I will.
If you give me a
we'll
second,
address that.
I have the emails right here, and I'd like to review them.
Thank you.
Before we go to stream. You say you have the email?
I definitely have them. But you
okay.
can go ahead and print them. I mean, you can read them. I never once stated as to why I wanted to come. Jerry sent me an
can
email,
you,
said,
can you
I
bring
assume.
Me the email?
Oh, ma'am.
Can you bring me your email real quick?
Yeah, hang on. Let me find them.
So I'm sitting there digging.
Yeah, and I believe I sent them to Jerry.
It actually says you assume you're referring to...
That's exactly what he did. He said, I assume you're going to discuss this.
And you did not disagree with that. Or
why would I? You can have all the assumptions you want.
This is over. This is over, Sherry. Sit down.
No, sir.
If you bring
officer,
her email...
Remove her from the meeting. Please. She is out of order.
Hang on here.
She is disrupting this meeting. She is creating public nuisance of herself, and I ask that you remove her from the meeting.
Sherry, I can only assume you are referring to our latest changes.
No more. I'm not going to hear any more of it. Remove her.
Jerry and Julie, please place me on the
sheriff.
Agenda for the first
there's
meeting
the
of December.
Yeah.
I would like to discuss a
Brad,
current ordinance modification.
Yeah, Brad, he's right there. Have him come in.
Sherry?
Yeah?
Could you do me a favor?
Certainly.
Just let us figure this out. Let's not turn this into a...
We're not going to accept it.
I can send you all of these.
Somebody wants to be on the agenda for a cause, then that's what they may speak about. And I told her she had 2 minutes.
I thought it was for zoning.
Speak on
though.
This. No, that had nothing to do with zoning. That's a
did
different
you,
issue.
Yes, it did have to do with zoning. And yes, sir, I did talk to you, Commissioner Sanders, about
come on.
That.
We've got better things to do, Sherry.
We sure do.
Our
if you just let me have
out.
My 2 minutes.
You're done. You're done, okay?
My two
sit down.
Minutes, which I asked for. I was granted.
Mike, Aaron, go out there and get the officers. Bring them in here.
They're right here.
This is a violation. You do know that,
no,
right?
It's not.
It's
not
sure
a violation of anything except
sure
to take care of our meeting, the protocol for our meetings.
Okay, before you guys do this, do me a favor. Take a break. Get us the emails.
I just sent them to you,
Ron. Give me just a second. Let's not turn this into something that we don't want to deal with later. Sherry Mitchell, right there it is. I will have you placed on the agenda for our December 6th meeting. And your email, Jerry, response was, I can only assume you're referring to our latest change to our personnel policy. I can put you on the agenda that this is a closed matter. We have worked on this issue for several months. It has been discussed in multiple meetings, both internal and public, presented to Barnes and Thornburg, our attorneys, and Wagner Irwin Shilton. That's not what we never talked about that, Sherry.
No, we did not, sir.
It was presented for open discussion in our commissioner meeting of November the 15th, voted on and approved. We're not reopening the discussion on this matter anytime soon. Please let me know if you still want on the agenda. You will have no more than 2 minutes to ask questions, which may or may not be answered in the meeting, but rather later, email. Yes, I would like to be placed on the agenda. I will place you on the agenda. That's what I'm seeing in the email. But the conversation we had was about zoning.
Yes, which is why I'm here.
And because of a permit.
I would have never put you on the menu to come talk about that because that is in process right now. I understand.
Talk about what?
The zoning issue.
What issue is it on zoning that I want to discuss with you? You make a lot of assumptions,
is
sir.
Is this a freaking open forum?
It is not, and I want her removed from this meeting now. Now.
I came here. I asked to be placed on the agenda. I was placed on the agenda. Now I would like to discuss why I
came. Just get her out of here. She's completely out of line. Her 2 minutes have been gone for 5 minutes now already. Just leave, will you please?
Just so you know, this is a violation.
It's not any violation of anything.
It absolutely
you
is.
Can make a big case out
don't
if you
worry.
Want to,
I'll take
but
care of it.
You are out of order. You are out of line. We need to have that in this meeting.
Have you been drinking? Just asking.
No. God, I'm a woman.
She's not been arrested, has she?
No.
I don't think so. Y'all give her disorderly conduct.
That was not the conversation I had with her, what it was about. It was about zoning.
Okay, we have someone here who would like to speak about Cottonwood Road. I believe her name is Chelsea Kim. Yes, okay.
That's a hard one to follow.
I know, right?
Oh, thanks for letting me speak today.
Yes.
I really am here just about to Cottonwood Road. I am Chelsea Kemp. I live on Cottonwood Road, which is a gravel road off of Lit Creek. I've lived there for about 2 years, and I came to talk today about getting the road paved, repairing our roadside ditches, drains, and installing guardrails on the east end of the road behind Cottonwood Church. It's a pretty deep ravine there behind it. I have here a petition from all the residents on my road to, if you guys want to look at this, I don't know if you want me to bring it up.
Sure.
to have this paved and repaired. It's pretty dangerous. It's now down to just a dirt road. There's no gravel on it. It's been graded a couple times this year. When they grade it, it does smooth it out, but it pushes all the gravel down into the really steep ditches that get carved out from rainwater. It's a pretty steep entrance on the east side there from Lit Creek. I have a four-wheel drive vehicle. It's very hard for my car to even get up, especially if it's been raining and it's muddy. In the wintertime, that turns into ice and there's no traction. We do have a couple residents that do plow the road to help that out, but there's no gravel for any traction at all. Along with the grading, it does make a little barricade for you not to be able to get into your driveway, so you have your own built-in speed bump. I went around and spoke with some of the residents about some car accidents that have happened on that east end of the road in the ravine behind Cottonwood Road. So we would like a guardrail to be placed there. There's a lot of people that drive really fast on that road, and especially coming down that side, you, with the way that the ruts are carved out from the rainwater, it's down to one lane road because the other side of the road is so crumbly because it's been carved away, and you almost get ran off of the road, and right there's just that ravine that goes straight down. So if you have to get off the road, you're going in the ravine. I had brought this up to Mr. Magner last year. I actually called a few times. Calls weren't returned. I left voicemails. Voicemails weren't returned. About a month later, I emailed, and I didn't hear anything for another month. Sent two more emails, and I have the copies of those emails right here. With correspondence from him. I did, so my original email was December 29th of 2022, and I did not receive a response from him until February 2nd of 2023. And that was only after I had copy and pasted what I emailed to him to the highway at browncounty.in.us. email address. Not sure who that goes to. So I expressed my concerns as I have to you. We have a lot of families who have young kids. I'm one of them. I've got two teenage boys and I've got two preschool aged boys. Neighbors across the street have young kids. There's a lot of families on our road who've had family members or people that they know who have wrecked on that road. Some who have actually gone down into that ravine that I was telling you about. There's a lot of scarring on those trees if you look close enough. So his response, so if it's okay if I read it to you, it says, "Thank you for your concerns. We have nearly 400 miles of roads in Brown County to maintain, with approximately 260 miles of those paved and approximately 140 miles gravel. Cottonwood Road has been a gravel road since prior to 1936, which is over 87 years. When I developed the first long-range paving plan in 2015 for Brown County, all existing hard road surfaces were in need of repaving. We have made tremendous progress so far, averaging 20 miles per year in new pavement with the help of a $5 million grant I have received for the county. However, we still have a lot to do. Right now, it's costing over $175,000 per mile to resurface a paved road. Trying to convert a gravel road to paved would be more expensive, double that cost. As a small rural county, we do not have that kind of funding. Our goal as a highway department and commissioner is to repair and resurface all of the existing paved roads first, prior to doing any conversions. Per GIS, you purchased the property on Cottonwood Road in March of 2022. The road was gravel at that time, and there are no plans to change that in the near future. We would love to have all the roads paved, but that is not possible at this time. I was a little bit upset because there was no resolution, like, hey, we can, you know, come at least put some gravel down on your road, we can fix the ditches, we could possibly put a guardrail in because we hear your concerns, we're also concerned for the safety of our residents, and you're heard. That wasn't done. I was ignored and then had a lot of numbers shoved down my throat. And I do appreciate all of the information about the numbers, cost, availability, etc. And I said this to him in a response of an email after this. I just asked about the 260 miles of paved roads, 140 miles of gravel roads, how many are dirt roads, like mine, and if it's costing 170,000 miles to resurface, or $170 per mile to resurface a paved road, it would be tens of thousands less to bring several single axle loads of gravel to make our road safer. I did find out that Cottonwood Road is just a little over 1 mile from Lick Creek to Carmel Ridge, about a mile there. We have approximately 17 different residences there, two of which are rental properties. There's the old schoolhouse and I think the Cottonwood Cottage. I think they do Airbnb for those homes. And I did find that Parkview Road was also paved that year, 2022, which is also 1 mile in length. They only have 13 residents there. They also have a really steep hill as well. So that would have cost approximately $350,000 for Parkview to be resurfaced. As a small rural county, he quoted, we don't have that kind of funding. So I would like to know why our road and why our residents aren't as important and our safety is not a concern.
Okay, I appreciate you coming with your concern, I do. I like to hear from all of our constituents whether they're happy or not happy. I want to know, because I need to know, have that information to do my job. It is a policy that's been dictated by the commissioners that we're not paving any existing gravel roads until all the paved roads are resurfaced. And we have been working on that plan. We've made great progress thanks to the $5 million from the state in additional road funding, or we couldn't have done what we've done. We, as Mike said, we have about 260 miles or whatever paved roads, and we've redone all of them, but I think about 70 miles so far. And that's tremendous progress in 8 years. But we are very limited on the amount of money we have for roads. Normally, in the course of business, I think we get a total of maybe a couple million dollars a year as part of our overall general or normal funding to take care of all the roads in the county. Of course, the community crossings grant is $1 million. We've gotten that five times since 2015. but we simply are not in a position yet to pave any gravel roads. When we finish all the paved roads, and none of them need to be immediately repaved, which 10 years is about all we get out of a paved road in Brown County. It should last 20, but in Brown County, because of the terrain, because of the fact that none of these roads have any base under them, they were cow paths that were eventually graveled and then finally paved. The drainage is very poor, so our roads last maybe 10 years when we resurface them. So when we get all of them resurfaced, and if none of those that next year need any additional work, then we will consider paving roads that are gravel currently. But that's totally dependent on funding. Now, I agree with you that if it's a gravel road, we take care of it. It's the same we take care of every other gravel road. And I don't know, I can't hardly believe that your road is just dirt, have no stone on it.
I've got pictures and videos.
Maybe Mike could enlighten us. I know he has a schedule for the gravel roads when they're to be graded.
Yeah.
I think they're normally would be graded twice a year, and if they need stone, there'd be some additional stone brought. So maybe Mike could enlighten us a little bit.
Before you start in, is there any way you could get some gravel up there and assess the feasibility of getting a guardrail up there for now?
That's what we've been doing in the last 2 weeks. And part two along with that, if you remember through the summer,
we
had a drought.
Couldn't grade.
When the ground is that hard,
you
cannot grade or put stone on top.
It'll
roll right off, and that itself is a hazard. So right now what we're doing, once we got some moisture in the ground, we're adding eights to the roads, which will also help if we do have to get a snow.
You adding what to it?
Number eight stone.
Okay.
So it gives you traction in the winter times instead of 53s, which pack down and make it hard again.
Right.
So we're in that process right now, working on them as fast as we can.
I remember an instance where they was wanting their roads graveled, and it just turned it to dust, and then they were mad because it was dust.
Because it had dust, right. Yes. So yes, we're doing that. There are some new items that she brought up. I do not remember anything about adding guardrail or doing some other things. But yes, I'll be happy to go up and assess that. And if I could get a copy of that petition, so because we'll need that for the file.
Okay.
And then we'll address any issues that we can. We'll address them as soon as we can. But like Commissioner Pittman just said, we've been working on this since 2015. And we agreed up front that we would, the commissioners all were unanimous, that we'd work on the existing hard surface roads first before we did any gravel roads. And so that's been the policy, and a lot of people come and go and move, and she's fairly new to the road, but that policy's been in place since 2015.
But we can tell you, Chelsea, I can guarantee you, your safety is important to us, so don't think that we're ignoring this. We're doing what we can with our resources.
Okay.
And let me say, the letter he wrote to you is exactly what I would have said. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with you that maybe there should have been more follow-up about stone and guardrails and that kind of thing. But as far as the paving part of it, that is exactly correct in what I would have also said. Mike's doing the best he can with what he has to work with.
Right.
And he doesn't have enough money to do everything. But we are concerned about everybody's safety because, quite honestly, if the roads default, guess what happens? We get sued.
Yeah.
We're responsible for the roads, so we're trying to take care of them best we can.
Yeah.
And we don't want anybody, we had an incident with a very unfortunate accident where some young people were killed on one of our county roads because they ran off into a massive hole and ditch that was on the side of the road. We put guardrails up there, but it never happened again.
Yeah.
But, our roads are not safe roads, really, when you stop and think about it. I mean, we have crooked roads, we have hilly roads, we have a lot of gravel roads that, they're just hazardous for traveling. And there's dust and there's mud. And, there's a lot of times when they're not very good, but that's sort of the nature of the gravel road, I guess.
Yeah. And just paving doesn't cure all the things, because I'd say, I had a conversation with a gentleman this morning on a road that we paved 2 years ago, and he's wanting speed limit signs and other additional things, because it's like, we really appreciate that the road's paved. It's a lot smoother now, but people have doubled their speed, and they're running 60 mile an hour.
Yeah.
On Curry County Road, and it's, I cannot control that. So,
I will assure you that Mike will come out, assess the situation, and if you need gravel, we'll put gravel on the road. We'll see what the ramifications are of possibly putting up guardrails and so forth. So, but
yeah, we'll grade it first. So George is making his loop payment. He's finishing up down south. He just finished up yesterday, so he's headed back north on his normal routine. Yeah. So we'll get it graded as soon as we can, and then, like I said, we'll add stone for the winter, which is our normal practice. Mm. So we'll definitely get that done as soon as we can.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yep, no problem.
I just have one more thing to say. Yeah. I understand the policy with the not resurfacing any gravel roads, but resurfacing the paved roads. What's your policy for gravel roads? Just like you said, like grading and gravel and draining, or like along the drainage ditch, is that just your usual policy for the maintenance for the gravel roads?
Yeah, typically it varies. A lot of it depends with weather, because we'll get into, you know, if we happen to have a really bad storm where we have, you know, 4 to 6 inch rain or whatever in a couple hours, and it washes out a bunch of stuff, well, we have to stop what we're doing with routine maintenance and go do those immediate repairs. So especially, you know, like I said, when we have hills and a lot of them have 10, 15, 20% grades, it's really hard to maintain a ditch. And, you know, right there with the Cottonwood, I'm very familiar with that area. That's more than just your normal roadside ditch. That's more of a creek, which has been there, like I said, it's been there for 100 years. Well, since the earth was created, I guess there's been a ditch there, a creek. But, yeah, we'll typically, as a minimum, we'll grade a road 3 or 4 times a year. If they need it, but like I said, this past summer the ground got so hard, being so dry with the drought, that it really was doing no benefit to grade them, because they were actually smooth, and they're fairly smooth and hard. So trying to grade them just actually made them worse. It actually put a little bit of a washboard in them because the grader couldn't cut them. So we'll like I said, George is on his normal routine, so we'll get it slicked up and restoned.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And thank you for your comments today. And we're always concerned to hear from our constituents and what your problems are. And if we can do something about it, we'll do everything we can to do that.
Well, thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
I'd like to add something here. And this is not my opinion. It's nothing. It's just I'm reading an email to the commissioners. And it does say, Julie and Jerry, please place me on the agenda for the first meeting in December. I would like to discuss a county ordinance modification. So I believe what the person was saying up there, she believed that's what she was coming for. But with these emails, and this is addressed to the Brown County Commissioners, with these emails, I'm learning it's hard to catch everything. That was probably the beginning of the emails, and then it advanced, if I'm correct. So what she was saying, and under her impression, she thought that's why she was coming. And I see where you responded and said that issue was done.
Yeah.
So you must have missed that one line in the beginning on the back page.
She did.
No, I think you did. The emails, I guess, the way they run.
No, I saw that.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's placed me on the agenda for the first meeting. So I would like to discuss a county ordinance modification. What did she bring up? Didn't bring up anything about
downsizing government. That's what she said.
I mean, I'm happy to have anyone come to speak, but when you ask to speak and you specify you want to speak about something, and I approve that, and that's what I expect to hear from that constituent, not some open forum to start criticizing the county government and all the people that work in the government. I won't have that in this meeting. I'm sorry. I respect you, and I respect anybody who respectfully comes to the microphone, whether I agree with you or not. That's not an issue. You can be totally opposed to what I agree with, and that's fine. But you must be respectful. You must stay on topic. And we will give you the time. This is our meeting. This is the meeting of the Brown County Commissioners. You are here to observe. By law, we don't have to let anybody speak in this meeting except these three commissioners and whoever we call. Now, I'm not going to go down that road, because I believe that people ought to be heard. And I'll listen to anybody. as long as you're respectful and stay on topic. But I'm not going to put up with ranting and raving and just troublemaking in general. I'm sorry. And I don't have anything against Sherry Mitchell. Doesn't matter if it was her or if it was Joel Kirby. I don't care. You know, I'll let you speak. But you must be respectful. And if you can't be respectful, I'm going to ask you to be removed. So
I couldn't quite hear you, Melissa. What did you say?
Just not too long before Jerry received that email, I received a phone call that addressed personnel issues. And so what I was addressed by Ms. Mitchell, was not that, or it was directed towards the ordinance that you had just passed. So when she sent the email, it was assuming that the same phone call, because I told her to send an email to the commissioners addressing it.
I've stopped assuming anything.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, if you want to come, I mean, don't try to ambush somebody. If you've got something to say, you know, be up front with what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, if she's wanting to talk about something, then let us know.
Yeah, we can't discuss personnel issues in an open public meeting either. There can be references to an office, but, you know, not personnel, not personal issues.
Okay.
Legal.
Anything else? Anything?
Okay.
They contact us on who?
On the three things they need to do from the meeting.
The contract?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
Adjournment. Make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, I got a question.
Oh.
Or a comment.
Tim Clark, Indian Hill. Hey, just talk to Randy, talk to Scott. NDOT's got the money for the what we need to repair that road, so you don't need a grant and you don't need a bake sale to generate the money. And oh, if you wanted my opinion on where we get the money, I'd say we borrow if we have to. That was a terrible decision that I think everybody acknowledged when it came to Indian Hill Road, railroad crossing. I don't think we'd ever do that again. And it's up to the county to fix it, regardless of what the cost is. So we had to borrow money. I'd say borrow money to do that versus anything else. So that's kind of where we're at. NDOT's got the money per Scott, per Matt Pierce, per Randy. So it looks like we're in good shape. It'd be nice if you guys had a timeline. If Scott, I like that May 1 date, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
What has to happen before that? Do you know what the details are to help hit that May 1 date?
That's a tentative target date, which makes sense.
Yeah. The worst case is, if it's beyond a year for whatever reason, then we ask for an extension, but I hope to God we wouldn't have to do that and maybe hit that May 1 date. So, again, I think money's there, so it's not going
to be. We can get them to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the money's there.
Yeah.
If we have that in writing from NDOT that the money's there because they won't fund any of our other projects.
Okay.
No. Serious.
Well, we'll see if we can get something in writing.
So you made a motion, Commissioner Sanders?
I'm looking for a second.
And I am seconding that.
Okay. Thank you all for coming today. We'll be adjourned.